So we're here once again with Shane Bennett, who's a familiar voice to our listeners. We've spoken to you in the past on one of your many trips here to Rome, as part of your mission within the life of the church. It's also your bread and butter, but it's very much a mission within your life of the church. It's part of your work. You have a movement over in Australia which particularly looks at reaching out to young people who perhaps have fallen away from the church, or young people who perhaps are foundering in their lives who have never met with religion or encountered religion before. Do you want to just take us on a trip down memory lane and speak to us about this organisation?
I come from Brisbane in Australia, and there's the Emmanuel Community in Brisbane, not to be confused with the Emmanuel Community coming out of Paris, who have communities throughout the world. But we're good friends nonetheless. So our work is really, we describe ourselves as a missionary community in the Archdiocese of Brisbane. So part of there's two main functions, which is to build the faith of those who are members of the community and to strengthen them in their Catholic faith. And secondly, to, as a community, to be outreaching both in our personal lives and in corporate initiatives. I think this is at the very heart of what the church has been trying to encourage, certainly since the Vatican Council. Of course, there are many initiatives like this throughout the world, and we're conscious we're not the only one. And we're part of an international association called the Catholic Fraternity, which is recognized by the Holy See. The challenge is to make the connection between faith and life. You know, for in Australia, so much of life, it's a good life. We are a very blessed nation, and it's easy to forget about God. It's easy not to see God in the picture. We are in a situation now where really one generation after the next have largely disassociated themselves with the church. I don't think this is a situation like, well, we hate the church, but the church doesn't really speak to us. The church doesn't have anything for us. Certainly a number of young people see the church very much as the prerogative of older people, and that's reinforced by who they see at church if they go.
Speak to us a little bit about yourself on a very personal level. I mean, are you married? Do you have a family? To give our listeners the idea of the type of person who's involved in this community, who is the motor of this community, that it's not just the prerogative of the ordained.
Sure. This is something that really is part of my own sense of call and mission in the life of the church. But I'm married, have been married for nearly 37 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. One wife, three adult children, all of whom are married, and my wife Chanel and I have six grandchildren, and what began, we, I guess there was a sense in which we met as part of this mission together in a youth prayer group, and we have spent all our married life as members of the Emmanuel community, very much a clearly chosen path, but something that has certainly nourished our faith, and as we see that expressed in the faith of our children, we cannot but be grateful. And we know that this is, this isn't just about us, this is a grace of God.
You mentioned there in your first answer that the new movements and the ecclesial communities whom we are celebrating this weekend ahead of the Feast of Pentecost here at the Vatican with Pope Francis as part of the Year of Faith are a reality that have sprung up in the church since the Second Vatican Council. They can also be quite a controversial reality. I mean, some local churches love the presence of these communities and these movements within the diocesan reality. Some are more reticent. They're almost fearful because they feel that it's like a separation of the church, that it's like, an elite group within the church, and it could actually damage parish or community life. So how, as members of a community, do you get over this almost prejudice towards these communities, which are such a vibrant reality, I'm thinking, particularly in Europe, Asia and Africa, but are slow to take off in many Anglo countries or the English-speaking countries around the world?
This is always a question. And I think one of the things for us is that we have existed in the Archdiocese of Brisbane for nearly 40 years. And so with that comes a certain degree of acceptance that we're not going to be doing something stupid, that we're not a threat, that we're actually there to serve the church. Now, as the Italians say, ma, the big but. There will always be people challenged by new realities. And this is the case. And sometimes those challenges are warranted and sometimes they're not. So we live in a world where people are challenged by many things, not only by new religious realities. Pope John Paul II acted decisively in 1998 when he called all the movements together for the first time in that gathering at the Vigil of Pentecost, which was quite extraordinary. But leading into that, there was a colloquium hosted by the Council for Laity, which I was privileged to attend, and heard Cardinal Ratzinger give a history of movements in the life of the Church. It's an historical perspective on the role of movements. And, of course, part of the role of movements is to challenge. Not only to challenge, but to support and to work with. So, you know, movements have the challenge themselves of holding together a sense of communion, even when people do not necessarily understand you. And so that dimension of faithfulness to the life of the Church, to the local bishop, is absolutely essential. But within that, there are certainly priests in the history of Brisbane who have not understood who we are and what we're trying to do, and who have felt threatened. But that's okay. You know, the Archbishop who first established us as a private association, he said, I want there to be a tension between parish and the life of your community, because it's only in the tension that people will actually see the reality. So he said, I want you to stay close to the parish, but I want you to have the freedom to gather together as a group. And so this is part of the reality of new things and part of the challenge, both for parish life, if you like, and the life of a diocese, and for the life of the new movements and communities.
Can you give us an example of the fruits that have been born through the presence of the Emmanuel community in the Archdiocese of Brisbane over the 40 years? Can you give us an idea of how the presence of this community of communion, of prayer, of faith, of reaching out beyond the sacristy, as they say, going out to the outskirts, as Pope Francis would say, how that actually has helped nourish the life of your archdiocese?
There's, I guess for us, we have not only a diocesan, but a national and an international perspective to our mission. So in the archdiocese, it's the focus has been, as I've said before, in the internal formation of members of the community and many people who have come and spent 2 or 3 years with the community and then moved on to other areas have experienced at that time, which they have told us later, has been an incredible formation for them in their life. So there's that internal formation of members of the community who've come not for to make a permanent commitment, but have come for a period of time. Some of the things that we're doing now and have been doing all along is a strong focus is on outreach to young people who have been, as I've said before, they haven't made any significant commitment to the life of the Church and to their faith, even though they're brought up in perhaps a Catholic family and go to a Catholic school. I think one of the things that we've been able to contribute is that sense of personal ownership of the faith. And we put on regular events which help to nurture the life of young people.
Catechesis, prayer groups.
Prayer groups, summer camps, national conference. Last year we had 1,000 young people at our national conference. Monthly praise and worship teaching, opportunities for reconciliation. And see, this is one of the other things that many priests think reconciliation is something that's been forgotten. And yet when you create an event and offer the sacrament and encourage young people to go, we find a great response. So there's that focus on young people, and in the last year or so we've been doing parish renewal days as part of this sense of the year of faith, and offering that to parishes, and a number of parishes have come on board with that. So, and this is something that we hope will continue. We're in further dialogue with the Archbishop about other possibilities. But then there's our international connections as well. We have a regular mission in Uganda where we work with local people there to support them in their hopes and dreams for building lay communities, working with one of the bishops there in his diocese, and doing quite a number of diverse sort of things. Like, for instance, quite early on, we heard of... I can't even remember how we got connected, but there was a group of Mother Teresa's sisters in Armenia who were looking after an orphanage, but they could not go on retreat because there was no one to take their place. And so we sent a team of people to Armenia so the sisters could go on retreat, and they filled in for them in their absence. So, you know, like, you can do the things that are, I guess, in the normal realm, but other things which are quite out of the... Talk about the going to the ends of the world. Well, Armenia is probably the ends of the world from Australia's point of view.
Mm-hmm. It's just one example of how diverse, but also of how varied the movements are and the communities are and their various charisms. We're going to see tens of thousands of people gathered here from all four corners of the world, from all walks of life, from different faith experiences, but with one thing in common. And the reason they're doing this is because of their faith in this year of faith.
I guess for me, we've had an experience, and certainly our communities have had an experience of working with the Holy Father in his role as Archbishop in Argentina. And we know...
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and we know that he has a great fondness for the movements. So he's been very encouraging. He's been very pastoral, and I know that our groups in Buenos Aires have really appreciated his role as leader, as pastor, and as bishop. And I think there's a great hope, as there is in all sorts of other areas, that Pope Francis will be encouraging and perhaps challenging. I don't doubt that he's going to be challenging, because movements, like anyone else, can... The tendency for all of us is to find a settled place. And I just see him speaking about this again, that when we find a settled place, we become interested in ourselves. And the challenge for all of us, and it doesn't matter who we are, is that we don't find a settled place, that we remain as pilgrims on this earth, and that we remain focused on the mission that's been entrusted to us. And so that means not just being concerned about ourselves, that means not just being concerned about our movements, but taking the responsibility we have for the movements and seeing them as an instrument of God in the mission of the church. This is very clearly was the thinking and the understanding of Pope John Paul II when he really took hold of the movements and commissioned them in the life of the church. It was about this sense of the new springtime of mission, about the new evangelization, about the transformation of the world. And I don't think Pope Francis is going to let go of that vision too quickly.